Well, thank you for your welcome and the opportunity to come and share something of the Christmas message with you. I'm going to start by wishing you, well, I've got a problem. Should it be Happy Christmas or Merry Christmas? Now, we had one person vote last time, so I want everyone to vote this time, okay? Merry Christmas or Happy Christmas? So who's going for Happy Christmas? Can I have a hands up? Okay, who's going for Merry Christmas? All right, no, about 50-50, I think, hands down. Actually, you can go with either, but traditionally, Merry Christmas is the official greeting. The very first recorded record of a Christmas greeting was one of Henry VIII's messengers, and in that correspondence was the word Merry Christmas, one of the oldest carols, although produced in the 17th century or printed, was written in the 15th century. God rest ye merry gentlemen. And if you've been enjoying Scrooge on BBC One the last couple of nights, you'll notice that in Dickens, his characters always say Merry Christmas. So traditionally, if you want to go back in time, Merry Christmas is perhaps the better greeting. But the Queen and the royal family decided Merry, what, people getting drunk, celebrating in the street? Oh, how common. So myself and Liz, we tend to go Happy Christmas. And when you sit down for the Queen's speech tomorrow at 3 o'clock, she will wish the nation a Happy Christmas, because that's the royal thing to do. So you can have Merry if you want, or you can have Happy if you want. But it is Merry and it is Happy because of the news of Christmas. And if you want the Christmas message in a nutshell, then here's part of it, or maybe all of it. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. They will call him Emmanuel. Really, I thought I would just speak on Christmas in three words. Christmas in three words. That was a challenge that an advertising company gave to members of the public a number of years ago. Can you sum up Christmas in three words? One person said easy. Eating too much. Eating too much. Somebody else said, Morecambe and Wise. And no doubt we'll see the Christmas special yet again tomorrow or over the festive period. Somebody else said, filling a stocking. Filling a stocking. Somebody else said, the Queen's speech. The Queen's speech. And somebody else said, last minute shopping. Well, they're all three-worded summaries of one aspect of Christmas. But then the punchline to the advert was this. Christmas in three words, Marks and Spencer. Marks and Spencer. And really, if you take Christ out of Christmas, you're left with M&S. Marks and... Wouldn't it be tragic? Wouldn't it be sad if that's all Christmas was? Marks and Spencers, more socks, more pants, more food, and that's it. In the Bible, we talk about Christmas, and it kind of summarizes it in three words. That one name, Emmanuel. Actually, in Hebrew and Greek, the language of the Bible, it is two words. But in English, it translates as three words. So we'll speak on the three English words. But in the Hebrew and the Greek, Iman, with us, and the word El, God. God, with us. So let's look at the first one, God. God. That's why we celebrate, isn't it, tomorrow? God became a human being and dwelt amongst us. That's the Christian belief. In a few moments, when we sing my favourite carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, that's the most fantastic poetry almost ever written. Goes like this. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with man to dwell. Jesus our Emmanuel. Wow, what great poetry. It only means God in flesh. God in flesh. The invisible God has become visible. The eternal God stepped into time. The eternal Word was born as a baby and had to learn how to speak. Incredible. Incredible. God in a body. That's why we celebrate the birth of this baby more than any other. You see, my boy was born on Christmas Day, and tomorrow he'll be 17. But I remember when he was little, and I remember the day it dawned on him that all the celebrations weren't for him. They were for another baby. He just assumed everyone was joining in his birthday party. But alas, we only celebrate, well, we celebrate the birthdays of those we love. And I guess the more important the person is, the bigger the celebrations. So the Queen, when she was born, no doubt the parties were bigger than when my boy was born. And of course, the whole world will celebrate the birth of Jesus, who Christians believe is the eternal Son of God, made flesh, entering in to his own creation. I'm reminded of the story of the little boy whose dad had been off to war. And this little boy had spent months and months just waiting for the time dad would return. And one day he walked into the front room and saw his mum looking at a picture with a tear in her eye. And the little boy just cuddled up alongside her and said, "Mum, wouldn't it be great if Dad could step out of that picture and be with us here in this room?" And of course, Mum said, "Oh, that would be so good." But you and I know that could never happen. And yet the Bible says something far greater happened. The eternal God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Godhead. The eternal God, the Father sent the Son into the world through the power of the Holy Spirit to be born amongst us. Never happened before, will never happen again. An event that split history, split time into BC, AD, and changed our world forever. God is the first of Christmas in three words. It was a God thing. The Father sent the Son. It was his idea. Here's the second word. With. I'm told that with is a preposition. A preposition. That simply means it links nouns and pronouns and phrases together in a sentence. And we use the word with all the time. You might say of a family member, "He or she lives with me." You might say of a woman who's expecting a baby, "She is with child." You may say, "He or she lives with their parents." A child might say, "Come and play with me." We use the word often, but actually with speaks of closeness, involvement. It's a connection. It's bringing folks together. And Emmanuel, a name given to the Son of God, because he brings people together. He's in the connection business. Late in the 1800s in Hawaii, there was a problem. They had an outbreak of leprosy. Now, if I get my memory and my facts right, I think there used to be a leprosy hospital on this ground here that this church was built upon. Leprosy for us in the UK is not a problem. Sadly, it is in certain parts of the world, although very treatable these days. But in the 1800s, if you had leprosy, it was a death sentence. There was no medicine. There was no cure. It was a fearful and a dreaded disease because if you got it, someone could catch it from you. And so what they did in that part of the world, they took all of the people with leprosy and they put them on one Hawaiian island. Can you imagine doing that today? All the sick people in England, let's stick them on the Isle of Wight. You know, let them just rot on there and we'll stay healthy. That was the mentality of that group of people in the 1800s. So they chose the island of Molokai, and they just put hundreds of lepers to rot and to die together on that one island. Well, in 1873, a Catholic monk named Father Damien heard about the plight of these people and decided these people are loved of God. These people deserve to have some dignity in their illness, in their dying. And so Father Damien went out to serve in that island of Molokai. They built hospitals, they built schools, they built churches. And during his 12 years there, he built over 600 coffins for people who had died. When Father Damien would stand up on a Sunday morning and start a service, he always started it. For 12 years, he started it this way. "My dear brethren, my dear brethren, an old-fashioned word for brothers and sisters, my dear brethren, it's good to be here today. But after 12 years, at the age of 45, he stood up and he changed his introduction. He started it this way. My fellow lepers. My fellow lepers. Not only had he left the safety and the security of where he was to go and work with these people, not only did he live amongst these people and become as one with these people, he caught the very leprosy that these people had. He was truly, in every sense of the word, with them, one of them. And of course, we celebrate Jesus. Because likewise, Jesus entered or left the safety of where he was to enter our world, the Bible says. Quite unique. You know, I started life when my dad's sperm and my mum's egg came together, and hey presto, 9 months later I popped out. Same with you. You had a biological father and a biological mother. Not Jesus, the Bible says. The eternal word, the Son of God, conceived of the Virgin Mary, born of the Holy Spirit. Different. Fully human, fully divine. Two natures in one body, not in conflict, but complementing one another. And he chose to be born as a real human being after a 9 month pregnancy. He grew up into a boy, teenager, a man. Knows what it is to be hungry. Knows what it is to be thirsty. Knows what it is to be cold at night. Knows what it is to be poor. Knows what it is to be happy. He's experienced all the experiences of life, the Bible says. Only one thing he didn't know. What it was like to sin, because he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. He was born without sin. But there came a day, one Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock, just outside of Jerusalem. He was age 33. Where Jesus, who said, I am the light of the world, spent 3 hours in darkness. And he cried out while on the cross, my God, why have you abandoned me? And the Bible says, because God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Why? So that you and I could be made right with God. It's like a transaction took place. You know, if you're in debt, don't come to me and ask for help, because I'm in debt as well. We're all in debt. We've got a problem. You have to go to someone who's in credit. And if they're generous enough and kind enough and willing, maybe their credit will pay for your debt. And the Bible says we're in debt to God. Wrong actions, wrong words, bad thoughts. The Bible says sin. And Jesus, the only sinless human being ever to live, gladly hung upon a cross. The one who is in credit gave his life so that those who are in debt can be forgiven and back in credit with God. Back in touch with God. Emmanuel, God. Second word, with. And the last word, us. God with us. It literally means he's on our side. He's not distant. You know, the sun is, what, 93 million miles away. That is big. That is powerful. That is distant. But every summer I get sunburnt. That's how close it is. And the Bible says Jesus is with us. He's up close if we want to experience him. How bizarre, how weird it must have seemed for this Son of God to enter his own creation. Like your landlord becoming your lodger. Like your boss up before you for an interview. Like Ed Sheeran queuing up to buy a ticket to his own concert. Like you telling your parents when to come home and what time they're going to go to bed. Like Picasso painting by numbers. So God lived amongst us. It's all back to front. It doesn't make sense. But God's ways are not our ways. They're different. And why did he come? He came to rescue, to save, to redeem a world. That's why both Joseph and Mary were told, you give him the name Jesus. But that's not a family name. People will say, what are they doing? It's got to be a family name, surely. No. You give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save. He will rescue his people from their sins. See, when a baby's born to live. I was doing a service in a care home this morning, and some of the people there are in their 90s, the odd one in there maybe 100, and they're towards the end of their lives, and they've had a good innings, because we were born to live. And I hope you all have a good innings, myself included. A healthy, good life. That's what we were born for. Not this baby. He was born to die. We were born to live. He was born to die. And so they gave him myrrh. Why myrrh? It's a burial spice. You put it on dead bodies to embalm them. Because this baby was born to die. Let me conclude with a kind of a final story. A few weeks ago, I was out in Moldova. And Moldova is near Ukraine, Romania, not too far from Russia. Poorest country in Europe. And it's a barren, desperate place. And in the cities, they've got all mud cons. But in the villages and the towns, it's very basic. Very, very basic. They still get their water from wells. Very few in the towns and the villages have taps. And they don't have toilets, so you just have a hole in the ground and a little canopy around it. Very basic. And we met a girl who had actually fallen down a well. Now, normally the wells have a little brick wall around them so that you don't fall down it. But this one was very basic and just a hole in the ground. And she'd gone out at night and fallen down a well. Now, it was quite a fall, maybe from the roof down to the ground here. But the water at the bottom saved her. She hit the water. It broke a fall. She didn't break her neck. She popped up out of the water. They've had a dry summer in Moldova, so the well wasn't full. Otherwise, she would have drowned. But it was up to about her chest. So her head and her shoulders and her arms were above the water. But then she had another problem. It was so cold. Within an hour or two, she would freeze to death, hypothermia. But fortunately for her, somebody else came to draw water. Obviously fancied a cup of tea, fancied a brew. And so she was just about to drop the bucket down when she heard this girl's cries. Help, help, help. Well, she couldn't go down. The girl was too weak to pull herself up on the end of the rope. So she went for help. And somebody came and actually climbed down the well, grabbed hold of the girl, and then was pulled up to safety. Hey, there was a girl in desperate need. In need of a saviour, in need of a rescuer. And somebody was willing to go down to where she was to take them from where they were to where they should be. And that's the message of Christmas. God sent a rescuer, a saviour who entered our well, entered our world, became one of us. Gave his life that he might make us what we ought to be. So have a good Christmas. I hope you have a merry one. I hope you have a happy one. I hope you have a Christ-centered one.